The games are wrapping up and the scores are rolling in. This is your source for all of Central Ohio's high school football scores and live interviews with the winning coaches and players. It's the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roofing.
Week number 6 of the high school football season is here, and as Larry Wolf said today when he came into the studio, guys, we're already halfway through this thing already.
I got to teach you guys something. We're not halfway through. We got halfway to go. Cup's always half full for me.
Well, and I like that kind of approach there, but it is crazy to think. I think it kind of hit us at the end of the show last week that, wow, week 5 is done. We're halfway through this thing. Like you said, halfway to go. Or as we were talking about a couple minutes ago, we'll get to go this year 3 weeks into the playoffs. So I guess we're not halfway through, but the 2021 regular season is halfway through. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roof. Ryan Baker here with you, along with the guru, Lee Cochran, from This Week Sports. You already heard him. And then our head coach, Larry Wolf. And Larry, it's just kind of hard to fathom that we're here already. Like you were talking about, it takes so long to get here, and then it's gone in the blink of an eye.
You know, you work so hard all year, and you're in there, and you're struggling. It's dark when you get out of bed. It's dark when you go home at night, and it's snow on the ground, and you're working your tail off, and it's only February, and you go, we're never going to make it to June. You know, when you're coaching football, you're playing, you're in the weight room, you're never going to make it to June. And then you get to spring break, and you go, all right, we're almost there. And you go, it's only March. It's only March. And then finally you get to June, and then you're at the end of September. I mean, because the summer goes so fast, and then all of a sudden you're in three-day football practices, and then the opening game, and we're game 6. This is craziness.
Well, I think part of that is the excitement of football, that it's one game a week. It's what you're looking forward to. And you know, if you're playing high school football, everything is wrapped around Friday night. And there, you know, you've got it so fired up because I don't know that in high school sports there's anything more special than the opening night, Friday night. And then after that, you just get so focused, and it's one game a week, and you got all that energy there. You know that, yeah. Coach.
Well, there's so much prep time and so little time on the field. You know what I mean? It's like it's 12-minute quarters. It's 48 minutes a night. It's over. It's over in an eyelash, and you go, where did it all go? I mean, I did 38 seasons of this nonsense. You're going, where did it go? I it's just incredible that we're 6 weeks in, and I know we've got another 6 or 7 weeks to go here, but we're 6 weeks in, and that's still hard for me to fathom.
And unfortunately, here in week 6, still dealing with maybe more than we have since the beginning of the season, with some of these games being canceled last minute. The City League, their games this week got devastated. Almost all of them got canceled because of COVID or one thing or another. The Licking Heights game I saw, Lee, you put on here, was canceled as well this week. They're supposed to play Granville. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty big matchup there. So a lot of games this week affected for one reason or another. It looks like Briggs found a game with Tri-Valley, but a lot of these teams were not able to reschedule games.
You know, what's weird, and Jared Ellery wrote a story at ThisWeekSports.com about it, that there seems to be more cancellations this year than even last year.
It seems that way, and I'm not sure. You know, we're testing so many people this year, and we're doing all this stuff, and people have COVID. Nobody has, very few of the kids have the symptoms, but they test positive. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, you have to be careful with it. That's the problem. You have to be careful with it. But they wouldn't know if they had measles or chickenpox or mumps in them. As long as they don't have any symptoms, you wouldn't know. You know what I mean? They may be carrying all kinds of stuff, and you just don't know. But with COVID, you cannot be careless with it. You have to be prudent.
No, so unfortunately, you know, some of these kids, these are games they're not going to get back, but with the expanded playoffs, hopefully it won't affect them and they'll be able to move on into the postseason. And the OHSAA changed the rule again this year where you only have to play a minimum of 5 games to get in the postseason.
Well, and that bodes well. You know, Hamilton Township had 2 or 3 canceled early on,
right?
Harvest Prep
had 2.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a good move, and I know the OHSAA, you know, is an easy target, but this was a good decision.
Well, yeah, it's easy to sit on the outside and criticize the guys in the arena.
Exactly,
they have to make decisions, And the decision was made, listen, if you play five games, that's good enough. Because we want our best teams, through no fault of their own, they might get canceled. Mm-hmm. It's not their fault that nobody wants to play, let's say, a Pickerington Central. If they get canceled, there aren't going to be a whole lot of teams lining up to want to play those guys. or St. X. You know,
exactly.
Who's lining up to play St. X? They're all going to get COVID that week. You know, so... Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the reality.
And Larry, just before we went on air, we were talking about some of the games that were going on, and you said, do we have any finals? Well, we didn't at that time, but we do have two now. Let's go to the first one, a pretty big one, and this one is final because it was a running clock for almost the whole second half. Upper Arlington continues to be impressive this year. They hammer Hilliard-Bradley 35-6.
You know, they had that opener against Reynoldsburg, and we talked to Coach Buttermore about that a couple times, and he said the momentum gained from that has done wonders for them. You know, and this is a team, you know, 41 points in the first game, then they gave up 14 the second game. You know, we talk about their offense. Carson Griesock, he had a couple more touchdowns tonight. But that defense is now playing lights out.
Yeah, they're squeezing the other team's offenses, and there's no room out there. It seems like they're playing with more guys than 11 on defense because they're running to the football.
Well, and they're so efficient on offense. It shortens the game, and it puts pressure on the opposing offense to do something because they're taking a lot of time. And then they're scoring points every time.
Well, right before the end of the half, they went 91 yards. I think it was 91 yards on seven plays and only used up a minute 52. So they have the ability to strike quickly, but they also have the ability to go on those 12, 13, 14 play drives because they're incredibly disciplined. They don't beat themselves. They don't make mistakes. They don't turn the ball over, and they've got a great ground attack. And, oh, by the way, they throw the football pretty well, too. So.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, because, Lee, and it's easy to do. The first thing you mentioned is Carson Griesock. Mm-hmm. We talked to Coach about Simon Monin a couple weeks ago. But tonight in the first half, Sam Cannon had a huge game. In just the first half alone, he had two touchdown receptions, one of which was about 95 yards. And he also had a punt return for a touchdown as well. So they can cut you a lot of different ways.
Yeah, they're quality players. They can do it.
Yeah, and Simon coming into tonight's game, 8 touchdown passes and only 1 interception. That's big. If you're not turning the ball over, you're not giving up a short field, you're pushing a tired defense out there. It gets interesting, though. You know, they're going to have Olentangy Liberty next week. That's going to be a whale of a ball game. You know, Liberty's turned it up of late.
And I just seen an update on that. Liberty just scored. They're beating Kauffman tonight 34-7. So looks like Steve Hale got it figured out over there.
Well, it's about that time of the year, isn't it?
Yeah, because we talked about it when they were 1-2. Yeah. You know, you just don't throw dirt on them, you know.
Because,
I mean, their worst start in the last few years, they ended up in the state semifinal.
Because they go out and play anybody. They're not afraid to play anybody non-league.
And, guys, think of this. In their first three games where they had the three losses, they scored a combined 14 points on offense. Last three wins, 38, 34, and at least 34 tonight.
Well, and what you look at, too, they got drilled by St. X 49-0.
That's
how good of a coach is Steve Hale? They turn around and beat an undefeated Berlin the next week. That to me says we know he's a good coach. We know he's a great coach.
He's been a great coach for a long time.
But that says a lot about the kids, him, and the program, that they can go out there and just get stomped. And then, and that's at home, and then turn around and beat Berlin, an undefeated Berlin.
Well, the funny thing about all that is if they played St. X again, they wouldn't get beat 49-0. I mean, because they're going to get better. They do it every single year. Every single year you go, well, this might be the year that they're down. This might be the year. No. They right the ship, and they're going to give Upper Arlington all they can handle next week.
Well, only one losing record in the school's history. Mm-hmm. That was the very first year of the program in 2003. Never a losing season after that.
That's why you're the guru right there. Stats like that, pulling them out on key. The other game we got final, guys, I want to talk about is over in the Mid-State League. And we've talked about a lot of these small school teams this year. That are pretty good, that can be dangerous. We've talked a little bit about Bloom Carroll, a Newark Catholic, a West Jefferson we've talked about. How about Bern Union? They're 6-0 now. They hammer Miller tonight, by a score of 54-24. Tony Herbst has done a great job since he's gotten down there in Sugar Grove. We don't talk a lot about this team. They're sitting number two in Region 27, right behind Newark Catholic right now in the computer points, and I'm not sure any of these schools in Division 7 want to play the Rockets.
Oh, I'd be careful about that one. Who else is hanging there in Division 7?
Well, Newark Catholic, okay. Which we just talked about. They're right behind them in the computer points.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, this Bern Union team is really good team this year.
Really good. You know, and for years, Bern Union was, quite honestly, a laughingstock. You know, they had about a 12-year period where, you know, they had 3-1 win seasons, 2-2 win seasons, you know. But, I mean, they just, you know, turned it up, you know, like you say, with the last few years, you know. And again, you know, we can talk about their offense, you know, averaging 48 points, but that defense has been lights out the last few weeks, too.
Well, and the other thing, too, in a small school setting like they have, it's all about the organization. If you can get the organization on strong footing, you know, the players know what to expect from the coaches. The coaches know what to expect from the community, and it's all working together in a small community. You have a chance on a bad year to be 6-4, on a bad year to be 5-5, and then when you see these bubbles come through, you know, and they see them every now and then, they come through the middle school, you go, we can't wait till these kids get to high school, and then they get that 8-2, 9-1, 10-0, and that's how it works.
And Coach Herbst, sorry Lee, no, just to jump in there,
He's an old Newark Catholic boy.
Old Newark Catholic boy, but if you remember, he had a short stint as head coach at Fisher Catholic, mm-hmm. and he was turning that program back around and making him win. And then he wasn't there anymore. And then obviously Doug Miller came in and did a good job there too. But Tony Herbst kind of started turning the tide there at Fisher Catholic.
He grew up at Newark Catholic. He knows how to win. He knows what an organization looks like. And so all he did was take what he knew, put his little stamp on it, and moved it down to Sugar Grove, Ohio. And listen, it's a one-horse town, and everybody loves the local Rockets. And that's the way it is. And everybody's buying in, and they're all working together. And you know, they're undefeated. Good for them.
And the one thing you got to look at, too, I mean, not that they're going to, you know, they don't have a game scheduled for next week, Bern Union. I don't know if they're trying to find one, but right now they don't have anything scheduled. So that means their next game is going to be Week 8 against Worthington Christian. Now, that's probably going to decide the league title, but that ought to be, as far as small school division, seven football goes, Worthington Christian's Division 6, but that is going to be some fun football. Yep.
And I haven't seen what Worthington Christian's doing tonight, but they have a big one against Lima Central Catholic tonight.
Ooh.
Yeah, you know, but that's non-league. So I mean, you know, but still, you know, it's you know, we can talk about, you know, some of the, you know, the Pickerington Centrals, the Upper Arlingtons, Kaufman's, Liberty, Owen-Tanger Liberty, but when it comes to small school football and the towns that are small, and it's, hey, it's Friday night at 7, turn out the lights.
There's,
you know,
nobody else in town.
Exactly. You know, if there's a bank in town, that's when you rob it, because nobody's going to be there to stop it.
Even the police officers down with the team.
Exactly.
That's right.
You know, so there is something special about that. You know, for a long time, I was a beat writer for Hamilton Township, and, you know, I'd go to Clear Creek, go to Bloom Carroll. You know, those are just fun places to go to watch football.
Yeah. Well, Johnstown, Northridge, Utica, all these little places out there, they've got good football. They've got good football because everybody in town buys into the program. They're all part of it. They all wear the same colors. They're one school towns, and that's the way it should be.
And one of those is down in Amanda. They wear purple and yellow down there. Bloom Carroll has just gone final. They remain undefeated on the year. They knock off Liberty Union tonight by a score of 45-3.
Yeah, Bloom Carroll's got a fun end of the season, and again, it's just interesting how that happens. But Bloom Carroll is going to end the season against Hamilton Township or Taze Valley in Week 9, Hamilton Township in Week 10. Those two teams are playing tonight. They're both undefeated going into tonight.
Not anymore.
Uh-oh.
I just saw the final on that one.
Here we go.
Taze Valley has won tonight 33-0. That's an impressive win for Taze Valley.
That's a surprising win. Again, you know, as wow. Coach Wolf likes to say, not surprised by the outcome, but I'm surprised by the score, and that one surprises me, that score. So that means a week nine game down there. Taze Valley and Bloom's going to be pretty doggone interesting.
And Bloom Carroll's one of those well-kept secrets, except anybody that knows anything about high school sports. They know that Bloom Carroll has the high school sports deal working for them. Their baseball program is outstanding. They do a good job with basketball. They do a good job. I mean, it's a solid program.
Softball.
Everything. Yep, it's a solid program top to bottom.
And I think everybody could tell by the kind of the way you reacted to that, Lee, but this is a big eye-opening win to me for Taze Valley. Obviously, them and Hamilton Township have a rivalry in every sport, but it seems like Taze has just been a step behind Hamilton maybe in football. Both of them coming in and defeated, even though Hamilton Township had only played three games coming into this one. But that's a statement win tonight from Taze Valley.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my goodness, you know, Hamilton Township's been averaging about 28 points a game and allowing 7, and, man, that got flipped hard.
I don't know if I'm in shock, but that's an impressive score tonight from there. So some of the other games, we still have some big matchups on the schedule this week. Want to go through a couple of them. A big game up in Olentangy tonight. Berlin, this one's kind of been back and forth. They have a 28-21 lead over Olentangy. Big CCL matchup, Hartley and DeSales. Hartley leads that one late 28-20. Larry, I just saw Darby and Marysville, it looks like, are going to overtime, tied at 14. Marysville had a 14-0 lead at halftime. Darby's come back, though, and typical, that Darby's not going away, and they've tied this up.
Well, the funny thing about that game is Darby stole one from Marysville last year. I think Marysville fumbled the ball going in late in the game or fumbled the ball coming out late in the game, and Darby was able to punch one in the last minutes to win that game last year. So those two teams, they just have a penchant for locking horns and going at it.
Yeah, it's similar styles, good matchup, and, you know, we – you learn a lot about a team after they lose. And it's a way that Darby lost last week, too. 4 turnovers, 80 yards in penalties, a 17-yard punt. I mean, they did everything they could do to hand Gahanna the game. And Gahanna's like, hell, heck yeah, we'll take it.
Absolutely.
No kid. And so, you know, knowing Coach Santagata, I mean, you know him better than I do. You know that's a focus this week. You know, we can't turn the ball over. We can't have the penalties. We play our game. We can win this game. And right there, they are going to overtime.
You know, Darby's mantra is, if we do what we do, we have a chance to beat anybody we play. But if we don't, and we hand the ball, we can lose to everybody. I mean, Darby's not better than anybody. They just are so darn disciplined at what they do that they don't give you many opportunities. But when they do, they're going to get beat. And if they play a clean game, they're going to be tough to handle.
And I'm sure you knowing him, Coach Santagata was not happy this week.
Oh, he was grumpy. He was grumpy.
I can only imagine. So, and he may have been grumpy.
And he had
after
every
that.
Right to be grumpy because they literally gift wrapped the game for him.
And he may have been grumpy after this first half tonight, but I'm guessing right now he's not as grumpy as they're heading to overtime. Let's go down here. Scioto. Dublin Scioto is a big game with Canal tonight. They just scored again. They're shutting out Canal 20-0. I'm kind of surprised that Scioto has held Canal off the score sheet.
Yeah, I guess I would find that surprising, too, because Canal is down to, you know, their third running back, you know, Ethan McGlone, you know, but still they've been, you know, they've been scoring points all year. They've had, you know, a couple games, you know, 48, 68, you know, and Scioto's been one of those teams we've been kind of confused about all year, too.
Absolutely.
You know, which team is the real Scioto? You know, the one that had to hang on and beat Grove City, had to rally and beat Watkins, you know, and or the one that just drilled Kilbourne in the Battle of Hard Road last week.
It's hard to figure them out. But, you know, they may be trying to figure out who they are, too. I mean, I'm sure they're struggling to figure out, what do we do well? What can we do well? And how are we in these close games with teams? Because I guarantee in the close games, they're doing things to give balls away. They're doing things to screw up their field position somehow. They're making the mistakes that they normally don't make. And, you know, when they play a clean game, they can beat anybody. When they don't play, they're very much like a lot of these teams. Unlike the teams that are incredibly talented, we have some of those teams out there that they can play a sloppy game and still win. But a bunch of these teams have to play a clean game to have a chance. And Scioto's one of those teams.
Guys, we just had two games go final. Harvest Prep has knocked off Reedy tonight, 25-7, the final in that one. And how about this one, guys? Kind of a feel-good story. Northridge beats Johnstown, 24-21, the first victory for the Vikings in this rivalry since 2005.
Hey, wait, nice stat you got there, Ryan. I'm really wondering. We've not talked about Johnstown. Mm-mm. And when Coach brought him up earlier, small town,
historically good.
They really are. You know, their last losing record was 2001. They're 0-5 right now. Now they've had 4 years of 500, in between there. But this is something you just didn't expect. I mean, Johnstown's always one of those teams that is a powerhouse, and you just wonder what's going on.
Well, even when they're not a powerhouse, they'll fight you, they'll bite you. They come out of the huddle 100 mile an hour, and they line up like they're going to beat you up on this play. I mean, that's just the way they've done it for 100 years over there.
You expect Johnstown to be 5-0, not 0-5.
Correct.
I would have lost my house.
I mean, it was just 2-3 years ago they were playing for a state title, and I'm sure they'll get back there, but just a down year, you're not used to it.
It's easier to tear it down than it is to build it. You know, and if you have a couple of these years, you can lose it in a hurry. So I hope for their sake they get it back quickly.
Coach Mike Carter definitely knows what he's doing.
You think? He's only coached 3 or 4 games in his lifetime.
This one, Lee, you said it's not so surprising to me. The score definitely is. Olentangy Liberty's beaten Dublin-Kaufman 34-7.
Oh, I think the score is surprising. I mean, Dublin-Kaufman to come in winning 2 in a row and looked real good. Mason Maggs had looked real good. But we've talked about Liberty already, and the 1-2 start just is par for the Liberty course, and then they just ramp it up and go.
When you play a tough early schedule, you have a chance to be 1-2. Now they're in their league where they're more. Their kids are more confident. Their kids know the teams they're playing against. They've played against these teams through middle school and through freshman JV ball. They're going to start to get their swagger back, and they're going to move to 4-2 tonight, and they're going to be a good, tough opponent down the road.
But here's something odd for you. You ready for this one, Coach?
I'm ready.
First time Liberty's beaten them in the regular season ever.
Really? Now that one does surprise me.
They've beaten them twice in the playoffs.
9-2, right?
Series. And all. Both of Liberty's wins have come into playoffs, including last year. First regular season win for Liberty over Kaufman.
I think they would trade a regular season win for a playoff win, so I hope that doesn't jinx them.
Thanks for bringing that up, Coach.
I just thought I'd throw that out.
Guys, another one that's gone final. Hilliard-Davidson improves to 5-1. They knock off Olentangy Orange 34-21. Lee, last week after the show, you sent me the picture of Olentangy Orange's schedule. Mm-hmm. They were 0-5 at the time. They're 0-6 now. And their schedule so far this year has been brutal, and it's not going to get any easier. They've got Kaufman next week. They've got Upper Arlington, Hilliard-Bradley. Then they finish up with Olentangy Liberty. Olentangy Orange could be a good football team, that kind of sounds weird to say. You've got to get wins, but they could go 0-10 this year.
But you look at their schedule. I mean, their losses so far: Darby, Berlin, Toledo Central Catholic, Olentangy, Pickerington North. I mean, there's no slouch in there.
No.
And the crazy thing, and the season preview, Zeb said, talent-wise, this might be the best since their 2017 team. But it just goes to show you, man, it's tough every week in and week out.
And nothing wins like winning. I mean, when you learn to win, you'll win games you shouldn't. And when you learn to lose, you lose games you shouldn't.
Well, not to flip the switch too hard here, but look at Reynoldsburg.
Yep.
Three losses by a total of four points
against great teams.
Just like we talked about how that comeback propelled Upper Arlington to the season it's having. You think in an alternate universe, had Reynoldsburg hung on to win that game, where would they be now? But they're maybe you win a couple of those close games. But you look at it, and it's one thing. That's when you see how good of a coach Buddy is. if they can turn it around.
Just keep hanging in there. Just keep hanging in there. Now they're going to win tonight.
Well,
get their first win.
They're going to be one. They did. It's over. 39-3.
Okay. But you get like that against Groveport. Groveport
team
has played pretty well.
Beat them last year.
And beat them bad too. And
you didn't have to rub it in.
But you know that I'm really curious to see what happens to Reynoldsburg from here on out.
I'm not sure I want to play that team. I was watching that game on TV tonight. I'm not sure I want to play that game a team in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, they've got
some dudes.
Well, you remember Coach Solis last week said he was watching warm up. Says, well, we don't have one of those.
Yep.
You know, and we were talking before the show. You know, if Reynoldsburg wins, you know, if they're 4-5, you know, at the end of the year, they're going to be probably 12, 13, 11, right around there. Man, I don't know that anybody yet sitting 4-5 wants to see them.
You want to play a 12-5 game? I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, not because the 5 can't beat them, because we know they can.
No, they can.
But Reynoldsburg has some lightning speed on the outside. They've got some big dogs up front. They've got a good quarterback. They've got good people. They've just found a way to lose close games. Mm-hmm. And if they figure out a way to win those close games, they could make a run. And I know Buddy's going to be thinking that tonight.
Buddy's the one coach that doesn't play. You know, he tells the kids exactly what he feels.
That's why they play for him.
Yep.
He doesn't sugarcoat it at all.
Hey, for years, a lot of those Reynoldsburg kids ended up at other schools.
Mm-hmm. They're not now.
They're not now.
Guys, we just had a flood of finals here. We're going to go to a break, though. But before we go to the break, two games that I just want to talk about in overtime here. It looks like Marysville has beaten Hilliard Derby tonight, 21-14 in overtime. I know you didn't want to hear that, Coach. And then how about this? This might be the stunner of the night to me. Watterson and St. Charles are tied at 28 going to overtime. Good for St. Chuck's, but I did not see them hanging in with Watterson tonight.
Not the way Watterson's been playing of late.
No comment.
we've got more finals. We'll get to them coming up next. It's the AM 820 Scoreboard Show presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Abel Roof.
How do we make our customers happy? We give them peace of mind. With Abel Roof, you don't just get a new roof, you get an entire roof crew. The leadership of a foreman, the experience of professional roofers, the quality of an objective inspection, and a great customer service team. The Abel Roof team is proud to serve the Columbus area and bring along 40 years of expertise. AbelRoof.com.
Call Abel for the proof, 444-ROOF.
Working as part of a team is strong. Working with a team of more than 1 million soldiers is Army Strong. Join the U.S. Army and train in one of more than 150 career fields. That's more options than any other military branch. Visit your local Army recruiter or log on to GoArmy.com for more. There is Strong, and then there's Army Strong. Paid for by the United States Army.
I had a moment of overwhelming peace the other day where I felt God's presence very powerfully. That's something called spiritual consolation. In those moments, God makes it easy for us to have the right perspective on life. The next day was rough. I was hit with some really hard news that turned me upside down. You know what I did? I remembered that moment of peace from the day before, and I chose to dwell in that peace. God doesn't just give us moments of spiritual consolation so we can remember them and long for them. He gives us those moments so we can recall them into the present. In a marriage, that time you fell in love, that's not something for the past. They're sweet memories that we recall throughout marriage that feed the whole marriage. So it is with God. In the hard times, recall the way He's shown you His love in the blessed times. Don't just go to your happy place. Go to your God space, and you'll find the right perspective again. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
If you are exploring your college options, make sure Walsh University is on your list. As a premier Catholic university with nearly 100 programs, NCAA Division II athletics, and students from 34 countries, Walsh wants to make affording a college degree possible for all students. Our scholarship packages and financial aid opportunities are designed to meet that promise. Call Walsh University today to discuss your scholarship package or visit us online at walsh.edu/yourfuture.
Academics, community, character, faith. For nearly a century, St. Charles has welcomed young men for an exceptional high school experience. Boasting a college preparatory curriculum, modern facilities, robust athletics and extracurriculars, and powerful student mentoring programs. More than 50% of our students receive financial aid, 100% are accepted to college. Parents and guardians of middle school-aged boys are invited to join us at a Cardinal Chat information session. The Cardinal Chats are hosted by parents, faculty, and staff of St. Charles in convenient locations all over Central Ohio. Be sure to reserve your spot at a nearby chat today by visiting cardinalchats.scprep.org, or to learn more about St. Charles, visit stcharlesprep.org. That's stcharlesprep.org.
Double-digit pay raises are history. Now money's a lot harder to get a hold of and even harder to hang on to. That's why State Farm agent Kevin Smith would like to offer you a free discount double check. He'll go through your car insurance policy to make sure you're getting the discount you deserve and aren't leaving any money on the table. So call State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus today, because being there to help you keep more of your money in your pocket is why he's here. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome back to the AM 820 Scoreboard Show. Ryan Baker here with you, along with the guru Lee Cochran from This Week Sports and our head coach Larry Wolf. A lot of finals coming in there, guys, as we went to break and through break. We'll get to those right after we have our weekly chat with the head coach of Upper Arlington, Justin Buttermore, as his team gets a huge 35-6 win tonight over Hilliard Bradley. And, Coach, what an impressive performance from your team tonight. We've talked with you a lot about Carson Grisak, obviously, and we've talked to you a lot about your quarterback, Simon Monin. Sam Cannon had a big game for you tonight in just the first half alone. Two receiving touchdowns, a punt return for a touchdown, and one of those receiving touchdowns went for about 95, I believe. Talk a little bit about Sam and the game he had tonight for you, Coach.
Well, he had a great game. Like you said, both on special teams and on offense, he's a game changer. I mean, he's a kid that's really, really explosive. And I was telling somebody after the game, I mean, there are different kind of mismatch guys. Some guys are mismatches because they're big guys. Some guys are mismatches because of their speed, and that's really Sam. Sam's a speed guy, a change of direction guy, and he's incredibly physical, though, for a smaller guy as well.
Well, Coach, Ryan's always that flash guy wanting to talk about offense. I'm going to talk with you about defense again. That's 13 points in the last four games. I know we talked a little bit last week, but, what's just been the difference in that defense from early in the season?
Well, I think I said it last week, and I think it's still the truth. We just have not given up big plays. To be honest with you, tonight we were not very good. We could not get off the field against Bradley. Bradley's a good team, and they moved the ball, I felt like, up and down the field a lot of the night. But we've been really opportunistic in terms of turnovers. We got three or four turnovers again tonight, and after they had driven down the field. And the old adage that force a team to go 80 yards, it's tough to do. We've kind of lived and died by that. So it's just been solid defense and making, when we can't get them off the field to punt, we've created turnovers that have really helped our defense.
Coach, I know we talked a little bit about Sam Cannon there, but a lot of people out there don't know anything about Sam. Now, Sam is not the biggest guy in the world, and he has some good speed, and he has a little wiggle to him, but he's a football player, and I think a lot of people confuse size and strength and all that stuff with football. If you can play, it doesn't really matter how big you are. Talk to us about Sam. How big is he, or how big isn't he? And we know he's fast. We know he can catch the ball, but what makes him special?
Well, I mean, he's an average size guy. I mean, he's a 5'9", 155 pound guy. And, you know, I've said for years, I mean, there's no doubt that to compete at a high level in Division I, you do have to have a certain amount of size. But some of the best players I've been around in my entire coaching career are a bunch of Division III football players that play hard as heck, and they get the most out of their ability and their talent. So, you know, Sam falls along that line. I mean, he plays hard. He plays physical. He is a football player. And, you know, when you have guys that are football players and love to play and love to compete, you know, the size thing is overrated.
Well, Coach, I know you go out there. You guys are 6-0 now. You go out there knowing you're going to win every game. But when you think about it, what has been that you would say, hey, this has been a pleasant surprise, whether it's something that's happened, a player that stepped up? Has there been anything that's really made you think like that?
I think there have been several things that have made us look at that. I mean, one, we've got such great contributions from all three phases of the game. I mean, I can remember going through entire seasons where, you know, we just didn't have very many turnovers, or we didn't create very many turnovers. Even when we had good teams, we didn't always create turnovers. And this year we've created, I don't know, 15, 16 turnovers, maybe more than that. I don't know, somewhere around there. I can remember years where we didn't score a special teams touchdown or didn't make a significant play necessarily in special teams. And we've had several really significant and really explosive special teams plays. And the same thing offensively. I mean, we've had years where, you know, you can't necessarily identify or be as balanced as you want to be, maybe. And I think we've been really balanced. We know Carson is terrific running back, but Simon Monin and our receiving core and our guys up front have all been huge contributors. So, you know, I just think the way we're winning, when people ask me, I mean, I couldn't identify how we're going to win each and every week, but we found a way to do it.
Coach, your league there in the OCC, your division of it, is a tough one for sure, and it's a big one next week for you guys against Olentangy Liberty, a Liberty team that seems to have turned a corner here. The last three games, they've scored at least 34 points against quality opponents each week. What are you guys going to have to do next week in that huge matchup?
Well, we'll have to play even better. We'll have to do some of the same things we've done up to this point. I mean, we've got to get some contributions from all three phases. We know they're so well coached. And I know everybody kind of panicked when they started off bad, but we were sitting in our offices early on knowing that everyone in our league is going to be ready to go when we get to the league schedule. So, you know, they're very well coached. We know they're going to be explosive. They always play really good defense as well. So we know it's going to be a huge challenge.
Well, Coach, congratulations again on another win. We enjoy talking to you every week, so keep winning because it's fun for us.
Absolutely. That's the plan.
He's the head coach of Upper Arlington, Justin Buttermore. His team 6-0 after a big 34-6 win tonight over Bradley.
I wanted to make sure that he told people the size, because a lot of parents out there, a lot of people that, well, he's too small, he'll get hit. If you can play, it doesn't matter. If you can't play, it doesn't matter. I mean, there are big guys that can't play. There are little guys that will just, you know, they'll play all day, all night, and they'll beat you every time. The size isn't immaterial.
Well, what caught my ear, I guess, was him saying that all three phases of the game are opportunistic. Yep. And I'm sure you had, in your 38 years, yep, you had some of those years where you caused turnovers. But you turned over the ball a lot, or you didn't turn over the ball, but you couldn't cause any. You were okay on special teams, but not great. They're putting all three phases and getting the most out of them. And I guess that's, you know, a compliment to the coaching staff and the players.
When that happens, it becomes scary, because you know that you're not going to have all three phases every night. It's just not going to happen. Some nights you're going to snap a ball badly, or you're going to punt it badly, or it's going to be a rainy night, or But 2 out of 3 is pretty good. 3 out of 3, you're going to win. 3 out of 3, you're going to win. 2 out of 3, you got a chance. 1 out of 3, now you're going to struggle a little bit.
Well, they are scary.
Putting it together.
They
scary.
Are scary. Yep. I mean, unanimous number one in the Super 7 poll.
And they have been for a couple weeks in that poll as well. So, man, they're really good. I don't know, Lee, we talked about this. I thought they were going to be good before the season, but I don't know if anybody thought that they would be this good.
No, I.
Well, you didn't know how good
yeah.
the quarterback was going to be. You didn't know how good even Carson Grisak. You knew he was good,
But how good? How good was that line going to be?
Nobody knew.
You know, and that's hard. You know, and again, you know, we've said it a couple times. We've said it more than a couple times. That first game meant everything to this team. Well, coming back from that 3-touchdown deficit to beat Reynoldsburg.
And how good is the offensive line? Well, they're good enough to get him to a hole. He's good enough to get through the hole. Well, that's all you need to do. Get the hole there, and he's got to get through the hole. They probably work off each other. He makes them better. They make him better. The passing game works because the guys can run block. And now, by the way, you can play action pass. And, oh, by the way, then you got Sam Cannon out there who can run like, you know, like a scalded dog. And, I mean, they have all the tools.
Well, he said to us a couple weeks ago that the key to this team this year offensively is their balance. You know, Carson got the headlines and notoriety
week one
with 394 yards. But, you know, as we said earlier, you know, Sam Monahan, you know, came in tonight, 8 touchdown passes, 1 interception. I mean, they're protecting the ball.
They're protecting him. They're protecting the ball. Mm-hmm. They've got a good running game. They play good, solid defense. And their special teams are solid. Other than that, they're not very good.
Yeah. that's going to be a doozy next week.
I can't wait.
Liberty's waiting. They are.
You got a Liberty team that is just founded. Getting beat 49-0, and then they've not been challenged since. And then they played, you know, Kauffman team that won 2 in a row, and undefeated Berlin team.
You know what I like about this matchup, too? There's a lot of great coaches in Central Ohio, obviously, but Steve Hale and Justin Buttermore are right there at the top of the list. That's what I like in this matchup is the coaching.
Mm-hmm. It ought to be a fun game.
I like to be a fly on the wall.
Let's go ahead now and run through these scores. We have got a lot of scores in that we haven't given you yet, so let's run through the whole list of finals that we got tonight, and we'll run through those. We'll start in the CCL. This is one of the weeks where the four teams all play each other. Hartley, they get a 31-20 win over DeSales tonight. Lee, kind of avenging those three losses to the Stallions last year a little bit.
You know, and I'm going through notes for the show, and but it's still funny to read that DeSales beat them 3 times last year. 3 times.
And you know the thing that stuck out to me about that, the 3 times? They've, since this rivalry has been renewed, they've played 9 times. DeSales has a 5-4 edge in that because of those 3
because
wins
of those
last
3
year.
Well, now it's 5-5.
Evened up. Would you expect anything else between those two teams?
No.
And if they play again, it's going to be 6-5.
Oh, yeah.
I'll go on record now. It's going to be 6-5.
Wiggins or Birchfield?
Yes.
The other CCL game tonight pitted Watterson against St. Charles. That one is final. Watterson kicks a field goal in overtime. They beat St. Charles 31-28. There's been a few scores tonight, games that we've been like, wait a second, is this right? This was one of them.
Is there a full moon? Because when I drove in, we were working on a full moon. It's not quite full, but it's getting there.
In the OCC Buckeye division tonight, Lancaster, they have knocked off Central Crossing 35-20. Lee, I know you love the stats. How about this one? 2 running backs with almost 200 yards for Lancaster. A.J. Locked, 193. Nasir Robinson, 187.
Well, it seems like Lancaster got back to Lancaster football. They spent the last few weeks throwing the ball, you know, 12 to 16 times.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And, you know, so, yeah, they come back and just play Rob Carpenter football under Brian Schoonover.
Good old-fashioned wing tee football.
Larry, earlier tonight in the studio before we went on, we were talking about football in general, not just high school level, but NFL, college, all of it. And I was saying, just run the darn football. I mean, just run the football. It still works. It still wins.
The teams that win still have the ability to run the football because it dominates the line of scrimmage. It's physical. You wear the defense out, and then big plays happen.
And it worked tonight for Lancaster, obviously, getting that big win. Reynoldsburg gets their first win of the season, 39-3 over Groveport. Lee, you talk about those interesting things you see when you're preparing for the show, and I think we kind of knew it, and we've talked about, man, Reynoldsburg's a good football team, but they're 0-4. How is that possible? 3 of their 4 losses by a combined 4 points. That's incredible.
Yeah, and they've got a very talented team. I mean, you know, look at who their losses were to. I mean, Upper Arlington, number 1 team in the Super 7. Huber Heights, Wayne. Maslin, Washington. Olentangy, you know, Olentangy won on a blocked extra point last week. So I think it could be one of those ones where, okay, we got the win.
time to start rolling. A little bit like Liberty, you know, just time to start rolling.
Well, they roll off three or four wins here, nobody's going to want to play them. I'm telling you right now, they are a talented team. And as soon as they figure out how good they really are, they could be dangerous.
And Larry, you talked about those little guys. I don't know if there's one better than Marquise Gillum at 5'5" for Reynoldsburg on the outside.
He can flat fly. I mean, he's a scooter. He gets on the edge, little wiggle, and it's a house call.
Yeah, and you look at their schedule. You know, they've got Newark next week, Lancaster, who, you know, obviously put together a good win tonight, Central Crossing coming up. So, I mean, they've got the potential to be 4-4 going into that season finale against Pickerington Central.
Pickerington Central, speaking of them, they beat Newark tonight 69-0 in the OCC Capitol. Big Walnut, they're 6-0. They hammer Franklin Heights 72-6. Dublin Scioto, 21-0 winners tonight over Canal. Could this be Scioto's statement win, Lee?
Yeah, because we just don't know about them yet. And it's weird to say that 6 weeks in, but they're hard to really gauge at this point. And, you know, I keep wondering about them. Are they the team that, you know, throttled Worthington Kilbourne, that, you know, shut down a very good Central Crossing team? Or are they the team that had struggled to win early in the season and got blown up by Westville South?
And Westville South is a pretty good football team with some talent, and they're kind of an enigma. Exactly. Yeah. Why is their record the way they are? Because they've got some giddy up in the backfield there too.
Yeah, had a couple bad games, yeah, and boom.
Well, and that enigma continues because they hammer Westerville North tonight, 62-21.
Which we didn't see that score coming. We thought they might win the game, but not by that score.
Never saw that coming, because Westerville North had won three in a row, really turned it around, and was really rolling.
And
wow,
like you mentioned, a 4-point game last year when they had Peter Pedrazzo.
Yeah.
Yep. You just never know. In the Cardinal division, guys, I'm seeing that Dublin Jerome has won. I've not got a final confirmed on that one yet, though. Marysville, they're 6-0. They beat Hilliard Darby tonight in overtime, 21-14. Don't throw anything at me, Larry.
You're killing me, Smalls. You're
just reporting the scores here. And Olentangy Berlin, they're 5-1. Big win for them, knocking off Olentangy, 28-21. In the Central division of the OCC, Olentangy Liberty's 4-2. Their 34-7 win tonight over Dublin Kaufman. They play Upper Arlington next week. The Golden Bears, 35-6 winners tonight over Hilliard Bradley. Hilliard Davidson, 34. Olentangy Orange, 21. In the Ohio division, Westland and Gahanna got called off tonight. New Albany, they win 56-14 tonight over Grove City. Lee, but the story in this one, New Albany's finally trailed this year. Grove City scored first tonight, had a 7-0 lead, the first time all year New Albany's been behind.
I think Bubba Kibble should be fired.
Yeah. How'd that work out for Grove City?
You woke them up.
It didn't, but one of those weird stats again. New Albany's finally trailed on the year. This game, guys, was slow early, and then once the scoring started, it didn't stop. But Pickerington North outlasts Westerville Central 35-22. No scores yet from the City League. Again, a lot of those games got canceled tonight. In the Mid-State League, Whitehall beat Bexley 34-7 in the Ohio division. In the Buckeye division, Bloom Carroll 45-3 winners over Liberty Union. Taze Valley, they get by Hamilton Township 33-0. In the Cardinal, Bird Union 54-24 winners over Miller. In the Licking County League, Granville and Licking Heights was canceled this week. Zanesville doubles up Licking Valley 20-10. Those two games in the Buckeye division. In the Cardinal division, Northridge 24-21. They beat Johnstown again. Their first win over Johnstown since 2005. And then some other games in the area. Harvest Prep knocks off Reading 25-7, the final in that one. London over Jonathan Alder 34-7. West Jeff improves to 6-0. They beat Northeastern tonight 35-0. And Centerburg knocked off Cardington 24-20, the final in that one. We're going to take a quick timeout here on the Scoreboard Show, but when we come back, we'll talk about more of these games that are heading final, and we'll talk to the coaches as well. It's the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roof.
How do we make our customers happy? We give them peace of mind. With Able Roof, you don't just get a new roof, you get an entire roof crew. The leadership of a foreman, the experience of professional roofers, the quality of an objective inspection, and a great customer service team. The Able Roof team is proud to serve the Columbus area and bring along 40 years of expertise.
AbelRoof.com.
Call Abel for the proof. 444-ROOF.
It's easy to lose focus in our busy world. Oakland Nursery encourages you to put the important things in life at the center of your life. When you look at your daily schedule, ask yourself if things like prayer, family, and friends are a priority. Oakland Nursery is conveniently located in Columbus, Delaware, New Albany, and Dublin, or you can shop online at oaklandnursery.com. oaklandnursery.com.
This is a Young Catholic Minute. Why can't priests get married? Did you know that an ordination shares a lot of similarity with a wedding? The rituals, the vows, even the speak now or forever hold your peace. Why all this similarity? Because he's getting married! His bride is the Catholic Church, and he promises his life to her, just as Christ, the true bridegroom, has done from all eternity. Now, yes, it is possible to have an earthly bride and a heavenly bride, but since the heavenly bride always has to come first, it can be really hard on even the saintliest earthly bride. That's why for the past 1,000 years, the Church has echoed St. Paul's words when he said to early priests, "An unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But a married man is anxious about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and he is divided." So, why can't priests get married? Well, because they already are. For more, go to youtube.com/youngcatholic.
If you are exploring your college options, make sure Walsh University is on your list. As a premier Catholic university with nearly 100 programs, NCAA Division II athletics, and students from 34 countries, Walsh wants to make affording a college degree possible for all students. Our scholarship packages and financial aid opportunities are designed to meet that promise. Call Walsh University today to discuss your scholarship package or visit us online at walsh.edu/yourfuture.
Working as part of a team is strong. Working with a team of more than 1 million soldiers is Army Strong. Join the U.S. Army and train in one of more than 150 career fields. That's more options than any other military branch. Visit your local Army recruiter or log on to GoArmy.com for more. There is Strong, and then there's Army Strong. Paid for by the United States Army.
Welcome back to the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Abel Roof. I'm Ryan Baker. The guy across the table from me, that is Lee Cochran, the guru from ThisWeekSports.com. And the guy to the right of me is our head coach, Larry Wolf. Glad to have you along, everybody, for week 6 of the Scoreboard Show in the 2021 season. Reynoldsburg, we've talked quite a bit about them tonight, and what a tough go they've had of it, but they got the rewards tonight. They get a big win. They knock off Groveport by a score of 39-3. Their head coach, Buddy White, joins us now on the AM 820 Scoreboard Show. And, Coach, it's been a rough year for you guys so far. It is good to talk to you. It's been a while.
It's been a while. I wasn't sure I was going to be able to talk to you at all this year, but, you know, luckily we was able to get this victory tonight. The kids worked hard. They played hard, and they got rewarded.
Well, Coach, knowing you, they've worked hard and played hard all year. You've lost 3 games by 4 points. How do you keep them focused when you're just that close?
Well, first of all, we just started league play tonight. And so if we just do a great job in the league and, you know, we have Pickerington Central week 10, you know, our goal now is to play them for the league championship week 10. You know, and now that they've expanded the playoffs to 16 teams, we really wasn't worried about making the playoffs, you know, but because of the way things started off for us, there's going to be one of those higher seeded teams that hopefully ain't going to want to see Reynoldsburg in the first round.
You know, Coach White, we had a chance to watch your game or a lot of your game tonight on television, and I was commenting to Ryan earlier, you guys have some folks that can play this game. I mean, you've got speed on the outside. You got some big uglies up front that can you know, make holes in the defense. I mean, if you forget who you played in the first 4 games and realize these are all great teams that you lost to,
right?
You got a very good football team, and nobody knows about it.
Well, you know what? We came into the season knowing that we were good. We knew right away that we had a good team. The first week against Upper Arlington, with a minute left in the third quarter, we're up by 3 touchdowns. And then, you know, things unraveled for us. And then the next week against Huber Heights Wayne, you know, they kick a field goal on the last play of the game. You know, then we went to Maslin. We had a lead in the third quarter, and they returned the kick, and that unraveled. And then last week, you know, we played against an Olin Tansy team that really believed in what they were doing, and, you know, they knocked off at 1 point. So, but like I said, I would not trade the competition that we played for nothing. I would much rather play this kind of schedule than to play teams that we know we're just going to blow out. You know, those games aren't that much fun. You get a lot of kids in the game, but, you know, our kids really, they really enjoy preparing for the teams that we played against. The only problem that we have sometimes is that you put together a really tough schedule. You don't factor in the fact that you're going to lose all those games, you know, because losing wears on a team. And we did a great job of keeping our kids' heads into it, but it wasn't easy. So they could have very easily went left to center, especially after last week's game. But we just kept getting them to look at the big picture, and we truly believe that we can get something rolling here and roll into the playoffs and be that team that nobody wants to see in their bracket.
Well, we've been saying that for the last 2 or 3 weeks, that you guys are going to end up with 4 or 5 wins and nobody's going to want to play Reynoldsburg High School.
Well, like I said, this was a big win because now our kids, they got their confidence back, you know, and the great thing about it was a big win against a quality team. You know, Groveport, they have the struggles, but they're no slouch. You know, they got some tough kids, but, you know, our kids stepped up and played the way that we knew that they could play from the very beginning. And I was so impressed with our defense tonight because that was my biggest worry coming into this game because they have a really good power running game and some really good backs and some linebackers that like to lay on you. So, we really looked at this as, you know, I was concerned going in, but, you know, our defensive coordinator, Anthony White, did such a good job of making the adjustments that he had to make, we only gave up 3 points to a really good team.
Well, Coach, we knew the playoffs were going to expand to 12. Then later in the game, I guess, they expanded to 16. But when the playoffs were expanded, does that give you a little bit more ability to make a schedule like this, you mentioned those 3 games. You had the game with Gahanna canceled because of, the COVID protocols. You know, Gahanna's one of the better teams in the area. And then, you know, you're playing an Olin Tangy team that is historically a very good team. I mean, your 5 non-conference games, you know, slouches. Were you making that with the idea that the expanded playoffs, this is going to get us ready?
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And, we knew initially they said 12 and then 16. And, you know, so, you know, and what you're going to find is that you're going to find, if they keep going with the 16 teams, you're going to find that teams are going to start scheduling tougher competition. Because, you know, before when there was only 8 teams, then you had to schedule pretty well for the playoffs. Now you don't really have to worry about it unless you're, team 17 and 18. You know, but, you know, now, like I said, I have no problem. I'll schedule anybody in the state now. You know, the kids have, you know, they have that experience. They love, playing against those teams. You know, when we went to Maslin, that was such a great experience. You know, the outcome wasn't what we wanted, but, different things like that because we're not worried now about making the playoffs. Hey, let's just go out there. Let's play the best competition and it's going to get us ready for league play, which I truly believe that playing that tough schedule did get us ready for this game. And but I tell you what, you mentioned not playing Gahanna. I'm telling you what, I'm kind of glad we didn't because we were having some issues ourselves. You know, we had kids that had stomach flu and head colds. And, you know, when we had that Tuesday practice the day before they called the game off, I had six of my offensive starters wasn't even a practice at home nursing a cold. So when my athletic director called and said, you know, that they were going to put their attention in the game, but they had a game. He asked me, do I want, you want me to schedule somebody else? I'm like, hell no. I said, this we needed a mental break. And plus I said, you know, some of our kids weren't feeling well, and so we didn't. So I was okay with them not. But, you know, you mentioned the 16th. You're going to find better matchups. You're going to find teams not afraid to play really tough teams now. And like I said, I, you know, we don't play Massillon next year, but we do play, Marysville. And boy, they got it rolling over there. They had a big win tonight, I see. And so, you know, it, you know, even though Powers won't be there next year, but it's their program. They have a very good program going over there. And, we'll host them next year instead of Massillon, you know, and, so, but like I said, I ain't afraid to play anybody. We may lose, but like I said, our goal is the playoffs and getting in there, wreaking havoc, and that's what we plan to do.
Man, Coach, I got to tell you, I'm super happy Reynoldsburg got a win tonight because I have missed talking to you. Coach, congratulations on the win over Groveport tonight, and hopefully these early matchups will get you ready for the rest of the way, and we'll be talking to you a little more.
Enjoy talking to you guys. Like I said, I was worried, you know. I'm like, I'm going to talk to my friends again. but I appreciate it, fellas, and hopefully we'll be talking more as the season goes along.
He's the head coach of Reynoldsburg, Buddy White, his team with a 39-3 win. I'm sure we talked to Buddy last year, but Buddy's just he's a great. Great one to talk to on the Scoreboard Show.
Well, you finally figured out who's taking my job when I'm out of this place. Because you guys can go to the break. I mean, he'll just take the job and do the whole thing by himself. What a great interview. He'll just tell it the way it is.
Well, he does. And then what you do is you write down about five questions, and you ask him one, and then he answers the next four, too, because I was going to ask him about the league. He hit that. That you know, getting a victory, getting them rolling towards the playoffs. He answered that one, so you just kind of check him off as he answers them.
He got them all. Hour number one in the books. For week number six, when we come back on the other side of this quick break, we will talk to Matthew Chris, the head coach of Westerville South. They get a big win in a rivalry game tonight. That and all the scores and more coaches as well. It's the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roof.
How do we make our customers happy? We give them peace of mind. With Able Roof, you don't just get a new roof, you get an entire roof crew. The leadership of a foreman, the experience of professional roofers, the quality of an objective inspection, and a great customer service team. The Able Roof team is proud to serve the Columbus area and bring along 40 years of expertise. AbleRoof.com.
Call Able for the proof, 444-ROOF.
Academics, community, character, faith. For nearly a century, St. Charles has welcomed young men for an exceptional high school experience. Boasting a college preparatory curriculum, modern facilities, robust athletics and extracurriculars, and powerful student mentoring programs, more than 50% of our students receive financial aid, 100% are accepted to college. Parents and guardians of middle school-aged boys are invited to join us at a Cardinal Chat information session. The Cardinal Chats are hosted by parents, faculty, and staff of St. Charles in convenient locations all over Central Ohio. Be sure to reserve your spot at a nearby chat today by visiting cardinalchats.scprep.org, or to learn more about St. Charles, visit stcharlesprep.org. That's stcharlesprep.org.
It's easy to lose focus in our busy world. Oakland Nursery encourages you to put the important things in life at the center of your life. When you look at your daily schedule, ask yourself if things like prayer, family, and friends are a priority. Oakland Nursery is conveniently located in Columbus, Delaware, New Albany, and Dublin, or you can shop online at oaklandnursery.com. oaklandnursery.com.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm agent Kevin Smith help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Kevin Smith handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else. More money, too.
because adding State Farm policies can earn you discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus today and get to a better state with State Farm.
For the Jews of old, the temple was the holiest place in the universe, and the spiritual center of the temple was the Holy of Holies. It was blocked off by a thick curtain, and only the high priest could enter to offer sacrifice to God. He had to have a rope tied around his ankle in case he died in there, so he could be dragged out, because no one else was ever allowed in. I lead a pilgrimage to the Holy Land every year, and to this day, you can see Jewish people from around the world come to the Wailing Wall, the closest place to where the Holy of Holies was, just to touch that wall. When Jesus died, the curtain separating the Holy of Holies was torn in two, not from bottom to top, which man could have done, but in an act of God from top to bottom. Why? Because in the New Covenant, God's dwelling place is you. You are the holiest place in the universe. Do you live like it? This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
This is listener-supported WVSG Columbus, Ohio, the home for St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roofing. Ryan Baker here with you, along with the guru, Lee Cochran from This Week Sports, and head coach Larry Wolf. We're week six. We talked about how do we get here already? And Lee, I feel like every week, this first hour of our show, same thing. How did we already get through an hour?
Well, we got an hour to go.
I know, that's the glass half full. It's just, man, time flies when you're talking to these and Buddy White, he's always a fun one to talk to for sure. Don't forget, guys, am820scoreboard.com, that's our website. You can get all the scores over there every week in case you miss one. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter at am820scoreboard. And Lee, you guys do great things every day of the week over thisweeksports.com. What can everybody look forward to when they're heading over there?
You get the game coverage tonight. You know, it's called Friday Night Live for a reason. During the week, we've got our Player of the Week, our Super 7 poll, predictions. We got our previews. We've got features on teams, features on players. It's just every day we put something new up there.
It's really the best place in the area to find out stuff about Central Ohio's high school football. ThisWeekSports.com. Make sure you check it out. Westerville South got a huge win tonight over crosstown rival Westerville North. 62-21 was the final. Their head coach, Matthew Chris, joins us now on the Scoreboard Show. And, Coach, that is an impressive performance in a rivalry game. Rivalry games are never easy. How were you guys able to dominate so easily tonight?
Well, I'll tell you what, we really, we did a lot of soul searching this week because last Friday was not the brand of football, the effort, the execution, the game plan. I mean, I really felt like we were back in the basement and we had to evaluate everything this week. And really challenged our guys to come out Monday through Thursday and they really competed hard. It was probably the best week of practice we've had in a long, long time. Consistently one day to the next. And then it was about, transferring that over, to the field tonight. And, all I talked about pregame was we have a choice to make, and that's in terms of our effort. And we're either going to play with the effort that's helped build our program to this point or we're not. It's one or the other. And our guys really answered that challenge.
Well, it's nice to see how they responded. And I guess, Caden took it to heart. Caden Saunders took it to heart. Punt return for a touchdown, touchdown run, a touchdown reception. Just kind of did it every way he possibly could, didn't he, Coach?
Yep, he's incredibly talented. He's got, phenomenal God-given speed. Then he works really hard to even get faster. With Coach Lichter at plus two. And he's been fun. It's been a fun, 4 years of really watching him mature into the young man that he is, and really turning himself into he's just such a competitor now, and he's willing to do whatever, we ask him to help us win football games.
Well, Coach, You know, it seems you might. You started a sophomore at quarterback tonight. First varsity start, Dominic Bertha, 13 of 19, 239 yards and 3 touchdowns. I figure you have confidence, obviously, if you're going to start him. But do those numbers kind of surprise you?
No, you know what? To be honest with you, he really. You know, we told him going into the week on Saturday that it was going to be his start to have, and he really came out and was ripping the ball at practice with great confidence. And I said to our coaching staff, I said, well, we'll know pregame, you know, is Dom going to have the same disposition that he's had all week? Because it is. I mean, this is a huge game for this community. There's a lot of pressure. I mean, we don't talk about the winning streak, but there's certainly a lot of pressure that goes along with that. And for him to come out and play the way he did as a sophomore in this moment, I think speaks volumes, you know, to his character and what this team means to him.
Well, you know, Coach Chris, you're coming off the worst loss you've had in the last 4 seasons, and you mentioned something on the air here, and I want you to explain to our listeners exactly what that means. You said we had to do some soul searching, and we weren't sure exactly where we were. We thought maybe we had to start over at the bottom. People are saying, wait, it's game 5. How can you not know? Explain what happens on a Saturday morning or a Sunday meeting when you go back to ground zero.
Well, to be honest with you, I know we won some games, and it's kind of been a helter-skelter season with getting the game canceled and, you know, the uncertainty. But we really haven't loved the way that we've been playing. I mean, even when we beat Scioto, it was kind of like I'm sitting there and I'm like, guys, like I'm happy we won by 19, but, like, we're not playing the way that we need to play to beat good teams. And I was hoping that, you know, we lost that close game to Darby, that was going to kind of be a wake-up call, but we got thumped last week, and I told him after the game, I said, this is on me, and I'm okay with it being on me. I like, we're coming in, we're going to watch every single play, and we're going to own what we need to own, and our effort wasn't there. I don't think we schemed very well for Big Walnut, and, you know, they thumped us. So we owned what we needed to own. I think that's an important piece of, you know, life's hard sometimes. You got to accept the reality of where you're at. But we really, I mean, it's been a heck of a week. I mean, it's been crazy. I've been nuts. But these guys have really responded, and, you know, obviously tonight speaks for itself.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the huge win tonight. Not one of those ones where we look at and we think, man, we're surprised Westerville South won, but definitely by the score. Great performance from you guys, Coach. Congratulations on the win, and good luck next week against Delaware.
Very much appreciated. Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
He's the head coach of Westerville South, Matthew Chris. That's an eye-opener and score tonight.
Well, we know he's going to have a good weekend.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and when we talked to him after that first game, you know, when they opened the season by beating Olin Tangi, and we asked him about the quarterback play, he said he'd just rather not talk about it now. I think he's settled in. They go with the sophomore. And what's that say about a sophomore? First varsity start, huge, huge rivalry game. And then just Dominic just goes out there, 13 for 19, 239 and 3 touchdowns. But when you got guys like out there like Caden Saunders, I guess that does make your job a little easier.
Well, and sometimes when you're starting a sophomore too, you pare down the game plan and say, listen, we have to do fewer things and we have to do them better. And, you know, he talked to that about we're going back to ground zero, we're going back to where we started. I had to own what I needed to own. And sometimes that means we have to be more clear as to what we're coaching, what we're teaching, and then we're going to do that. And if that's not good enough, then we'll fix something else. But we're going to do whatever that thing is, we're going to do that.
Do you remember who else talked to us about that last week? Jay Sherritt. After they lost to North, he said that we'd been in the coach's room the week before. We knew there were some changes we need to make, but you didn't want to make them. And that loss gave him the opportunity to do it.
When you try to make them after a close win, sometimes it's hard to sell the kids that they really need to change. They go, hey, coach, we won. What do you, you know, why are you so upset? They don't see what you see. When you get thumped 38-7, listen, Big Walnut's a good team. We know that. We know that. They're a good team. But 38-7 or Westville South?
That you don't expect it. Now, Westville South's got a chance to go on a little bit of a run
That's
here.
That's correct.
They've got Delaware and then Canal Winchester coming off the loss. Franklin Heights, Worthington, Kilbourne. You know, I mean,
they should be favored in every one of those games.
Yeah, every one of those games. And then, you know, wow. For a team that had to start at ground zero in the fifth week or six before the sixth game, they could end up 8-2.
Okay, so they start with Olin Tangi, Darby, Scioto, Big Walnut. Are you serious? I mean, That's a pretty good foursome to start with.
Just a bunch of slouches there.
Bunch of slouches. They're no good. And the Derby game, they really didn't play that poorly. They just didn't play well enough to win.
Well, it was the last team, essentially the last team with the ball won. Right. I mean, Westville South got the ball with, you know, seconds left. Yep, yep. But we sat here and watched
Derby
a lot of that game.
Right down the field and scored.
You know, and then the way that they beat Scioto 41-22, mm-hmm. you thought, okay, they're back, they're going. But you know, when that happened last week, it opened eyes both ways. One, what happened to South? And two, man, Big Walnut must be good.
I'll just say this. If they've gotten their quarterback situation straightened out with Brandon Armstrong running the football, Caden Saunders' ability on the outside, exactly. This is going to be a scary team.
That's all they were missing. That's all they were missing earlier in the year.
There's another one of those teams that's going to go into the season with a few losses. They're not going to be in the top three, four, five, or six. And you're going to say, do we really want to play these guys?
If Dominic can follow this up, with the second start, third start, and they might still have those packages at quarterback for Caden, but if you can keep him out there and you can, you know, maybe give him the ball in a reverse or, you know, the quick screen to just let him get in space, I agree. This could be a very dangerous team if they get the defense, and the defense look, you're throwing up 60 points. I guess you don't really, I mean, you care about defense, but hey.
Westerville South in Division II, Region 7, two more teams that are in that region squared off tonight in Canal Winchester and Dublin Scioto, and it's the Irish that walk away with the 21-0 win. Their head coach Carl Johnson joins us now on the Scoreboard Show. And Coach, we kind of talked about it with Westerville South, how they've kind of been up and down a little bit this year. We weren't really sure about your team, how good they were. Like Lee said, were they the team that really played well against Worthington Kilborn, or was it the team that kind of struggled with Grove City, just got the win in week number one? 21-0 tonight over Canal Winchester. Is this kind of the best performance your team's had all year?
You know, I don't know if I would call it our best performance yet. I think it was another good team effort. You know, the last 2 weeks we've been very productive turnover wise. You know, the defense getting a shutout is always huge. We closed the game out with a 90-yard drive. That was huge. But I feel like we still have a lot of things that we need to get better at before the season gets finished.
Well, Coach, you've been around this a long time. Yeah, does that help you keep stay a little bit patient when you're going through some of the things you're going through?
I don't know if I'd call it patience. coaches are not necessarily the most patient people. But, you know, our kids are working hard. They're playing hard. You know, I like so much about our team. I just feel like we still can get better. And I think we're going to have to get better to win down the stretch here.
Well, Coach Johnson, let's just call it the way it is. When you're really one of the great teams, you can have an off night. When you're one of those teams that's just a good, solid team, and that's what it looks like you guys are, if you don't play well, you can get beat by anybody. And if you play well, you can literally beat anybody. That seems the way you guys are going right now.
100%. And, I like so many things that we're doing again. And, it's just fun. Kids are having fun playing football. And, you know, we had four turnovers tonight to close the game out with two picks. I mean, it's just fun being out there, and, you know, you want them to enjoy playing high school football.
Well, who played particularly well for you tonight, Coach?
That's a good question. up front, offensive line-wise, you know, we're doing a great job in pass protection. That being said, we got to get better. You know, we had three or four holding calls tonight. Defensively, we had four turnovers, but they also ran for 200 yards. So, you know, we're just a team that's still working to be exactly where we want to be, I guess is the best way to put it. And who those guys are, you know, we've got some good playmakers. Tyson Bowes, I think, is one of the best receivers in Central Ohio. If we don't have good pass protection, if quarterback's not getting the ball, doesn't matter how good you are. So,
Coach, you mentioned Tyler. He's got a pretty good quarterback throwing to him in Amari Jenkins. And then on the other side, Leslie Ando's a good playmaker out there on the edge, too. your passing game is very dynamic with those guys. Is that something that you guys are trying to rely on this year, or are you still trying to run the football and establish the running game?
Well, that's what we were just talking about while I was sitting here on hold, was continuing to get better in our run game. But we definitely have playmakers out there. You know, Amari Jenkins is a really good quarterback that can deliver the ball. Tyson and is an explosive receiver that can make it. You know, he can make a huge play anytime, and Tyson is the same way. You know, so we are definitely trying to take advantage of that and get those guys in space and look for those opportunities. But, you know, I think high school football, you got to be able to run the football.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the impressive win tonight, 21-0 over Canal Winchester. Good luck to you and the Irish next week when you take on Franklin Heights.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
He's the head coach of Dublin Scioto. Carl Johnson, 21-0. They beat Canal tonight. And that's a Canal team that was number two in that region in computer points coming in. That's a big win for Scioto that will jump them up.
Yeah, and it will. And it also, you know, keeps them a little bit in the, you know, hunt for a league title. Now, but, you know, it's a little bit like when we talked about Liberty. You know, Coach Hell's been there so long, you know he's going to turn it around. You know, Coach Johnson's been there so long, you know, they lost two in a row, and, you know, now they've won two in a row again. So, I mean, it's just, and even when they started out 2-0, it wasn't a pretty 2-0, you know.
Well, Scioto's one of those teams. There's about six or seven of them that are, they're good enough to beat anybody. They're good enough to lose anybody. And that would be a fun tournament just to watch those six or seven play each other, because it would really be fun, because every night you'd have to have a great game to win a game. And, you know, you've got Scioto. You've got Westerville South. You've got Dublin Jerome. You've got Darby. You've got Davis. I mean, Darby and Davidson, you think, well, they're good teams. But if they don't play well, they can't win. If they do play well, they can beat anybody.
But you also look at what he said. You know, the offense has played well. Well, but they had three holding penalties.
Right.
The defense played real well, forced four turnovers, gave up 200 yards rushing. 21-0 victory, and they're going to have plenty to talk about in film.
Absolutely.
And the tough thing for Carl now is, can he keep his team focused the next 2 weeks against Franklin Heights and Delaware before that big matchup with Big Walnut in Week 9?
Egads. Egads. That's a tough one, because the kids, they're not stupid. They can read, they can see, you know, who's coming down the pike at them. They know they're prohibitive favorites in the next 2 weeks. They know that.
Mm-hmm.
They know that. What they have to focus on is the process. Can we get better in every aspect of the game, so that when you play that team 3 weeks from now, you've got a chance?
Okay. Is this also when you grab that film of Grove City and say, this is an 0-5 team that almost beat us? This is what happens when you start thinking you're better than what you are. We can walk out there and win.
Well, and the thing about football, too, is if you're not mentally focused, there are too many ways to get hurt. I mean, you can lose a kid on a silly play, you know, a sprained ankle, and your whole season can go right down the tube. So you can go from the penthouse to the outhouse in no time.
Guys, let's go ahead and run through some of these scores in the OCC. Let's start in the Buckeye Division. Lancaster gets a 35-20 win over Central Crossing tonight. Reynoldsburg gets their first win of the season, 39-3. They beat Groveport. Pick Central, I think earlier, guys, I said the score was 69-0. It was actually 67-0 tonight over Newark. In the OCC Capital, Big Walnut, they're 6-0. They beat Franklin Heights 72-6. We just talked to Carl Johnson. The Dublin Scioto Irish beat Canal Winchester 21-0. Worthington Kilbourne gets their second win of the year. They knock off Delaware 43-14, and Westerville South 62-21 winners over Westerville North. In the Cardinal, Dublin Jerome 36-18 winners over Thomas Worthington. Marysville 6-0, big win over Hilliard Darby in overtime 21-14. And Olentangy Berlins 5-1, they beat Olentangy 28-21. In the OCC Central, Olentangy Liberties 4-2, they beat Dublin Kaufman tonight 34-7.
Yeah, and that game, Chase Brecht had 181 yards, three touchdowns, 26 carries. A week ago, 137 yards and a touchdown. Coach Hell said that Chase is playing running back for the first time since Little League.
Wow.
Well, that's a way to step in.
What was he doing before this?
Not playing running back.
Washing the team bus, cleaning out the line. I mean, obviously he can do a lot more things than they thought he could do.
Upper Arlington 6-0. They beat Hilliard Bradley 35-6. And Hilliard Davidson gets a big win 34-21 over Olentangy Orange. In the Ohio division, New Albany, they're 6-0, 56-14. They beat Grove City. And Pick North beats Westerville Central 35-22. In the Central Catholic League tonight, the four teams all squared off. Waterson pulls away in overtime. They survive St. Charles 31-28. Again, that one went into overtime. And then Hartley, they're 4-2. They get a big 31-20 win over DeSales. Their head coach, Brad Birchfield, joins us now on the Scoreboard Show. And coach, never easy when you guys take on DeSales, and I know that wasn't the case tonight. How happy are you with the 31-20 win over the Stallions?
Really happy. You know, I mean, our goals are, our expectations are always the same. It's to win the CCL and to do well in the playoffs. And we put ourselves in great position for both of them tonight. So it was really gratifying. Kids played so hard and so well. And obviously we got a lot of respect for DeSales. We had quite a few wars, and this is another one. But I was happy the way how well we played, that's for sure.
Well, Coach Birchfield, I'm kind of disappointed that you're only going to play them once this year. I was kind of hoping for that three-game series every year. I know you guys love playing each other three times.
Well, I know it is. There's always a chance we play down the road in the tournament, too, with us all three being in the last region or in the same region. And I think this is going to be the last year we're all in the same region for a long time, same division. So it is fun and memorable, and it's exciting. And I know I've railed on this many times. I can't even begin to explain the excitement that it brings both schools and all four of the schools within the CCO. It really is what high school football is all about. I mean, no disrespect to the OCC, but they – you know, they change their league every few years and this and that. I mean, the CCL, it is St. Charles, Waterson, DeSales, and Hartley. And the kids know each other, and we're going to strap it on, and we're going to see who the best team is. And it's probably going to be a one-score game between all of us, you know, down to the wire. And it's so much fun, and it's what high school football should be all about.
Well, Coach, I see that Peyton threw for about 150 yards, a couple touchdowns. What were you seeing that you went to the air so much?
Well, we were just kind of taking what they gave us. They did a good job of taking away off tackle. I know Coach Wolf asked last week about what we were good at doing or what we wanted our best plays to be, something to that effect, and I made up an answer off the top of my head, but I really thought about it later. And, you know, you don't know what you're good at doing until you have to beat somebody really good to win a football game. And we've been in that position a couple times, but we're still building that. And I think that we're able to take what the defense gives us. We certainly want to pound people, but, I mean, we've been doing this so long now. People are going to try to take that away if they've got really good players, and DeSales does. So we caught him in some one-on-one matchups, and we love that. Obviously, between Peyton and Trey and Richard, Kenny, I mean, these guys are phenomenal players.
Coach, you talked about some of those players, and it seems like Peyton and Trey Saunders have got a little chemistry, and they've hooked up on some big plays this year. Obviously, this is their second year together, quarterback and wide receiver. Talk about that combo together.
It is. Richard is right there with the two. Richard had the big touchdown right before half to make it 21-14, which I don't know if I can explain it well, that if you go into the locker room 14-14, or you go in the locker room with a 7-point lead, that's a whole different makeup of what you're dealing with the kids and coaches. So that was a huge play. I mean, he's got great chemistry with both those receivers, and it gives us kind of a 1-2 punch, and whoever they decide to double or take away, that leaves opportunities for the others. But yeah, Peyton's throwing the ball really well. He's a big, strong, athletic kid back in there, and we're happy to have him.
Well, you know, Coach Birchfield, as someone who's watched you guys play for about the last 7 or 8 years, you've thrown the ball quite a few times. You throw it opportunistically. I mean, when you run the football as much as you guys do, it's like running into the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. I mean, there's like 45 guys on the line of scrimmage, and you get those one-on-one matchups, and you've always had a dynamic passing game where you'll throw a 3-yard pass, and it'll go for 60. That's kind of been your two-minute offense. So to see you guys throw the ball a little bit, that doesn't surprise me one darn bit, and it shouldn't surprise the people that you play against. I know DeSales isn't surprised by it.
Yeah, no, we're looking for efficiency like anyone else. You know, you guys all sit around and watch college football, and they'll say, well, if you had a 100-yard rusher and a 300-yard passer, that is great balance. Well, we think 300-100 is a great balance, but what if it's the other way around? We have a 300-yard rushing and 100-yard receiving, I mean, or passing. That's tremendous balance. The same exact way the numbers add up. So we want that kind of balance in there, and you never know how somebody takes things away. You know, I mean, we're going to head up to Akron to play St. Vincent St. Mary's in a few weeks, and that's going to be really interesting because I don't know what they think of us. I mean, I know what DeSale thinks of us, and we know what they want to take away, but when you play these new teams, it's always interesting.
Well, Coach, next week is there's not a game scheduled. Are you looking for a game, or are you just going to take the week off?
We'll see. I mean, we're not bringing Benedictin back down. I can promise
really?
You that.
Come on.
How about the sales? Play them again.
If we find a game, we're going to find somebody where we can play everybody and get all the kids in and really really have a good experience that way. So that's it. I mean, I'll wait and see and we're not going to travel. So we'll see how Corona hits. I mean, we travel within 270, but, that's kind of my thoughts right now. Obviously, we're in real good shape in terms of postseason stuff. So I don't think there's a real sense of urgency on that standpoint. But you want the kids to play. I mean, how many guaranteed opportunities do kids have to play to turn the lights on? So, and we need to get some of our kids a lot more reps. So that's what kind of my plan is.
Well, Coach, congratulations. I know how big these CCL games are to you. I know what importance you guys put on those. Congratulations on the big win tonight over DeSales.
All right, thank you guys.
He's the head coach of Bishop Hartley, Brad Birchfield. 31-20, they knock off DeSales. And like we talked about earlier, Lee, that rivalry since it's renewed back in 2014, mm-hmm. all square, 5-5.
Yeah, and you know how important that was tonight for the Hawks. Coach Birchfield and the Hawks losing three times to the Stallions last year. You know you just got to get it in, and that's good.
Well, yeah, and that game tonight, what people don't understand, it was 21-20, and DeSales was going for two to take the lead. And then Hartley came back and put one in and then kicked the field goal late. These games are always white knucklers. I mean, it comes down to a turnover here, a turnover there, a big play, and they're always close games. They're two good teams, and they go at it every year.
Well, it'll be a good conversation with Coffee tomorrow. You know, the group gets together that are Hartley proud.
Another good team that we've got in the area this year is New Albany. They're 6-0. They beat Grove City tonight by a score of 56-14. Their head coach, Bubba Kidwell, joins us now on the Scoreboard Show. And, Coach, Grove City scored first tonight. You were down 7-0. You trailed for the first time all year. Did panic set in, Coach? You're not used to this, falling behind.
No, we're not used to falling behind, but you know, it was good to get behind and see how our kids responded. It was pretty tight there in the first quarter, but you know, I was very proud of how our kids handled the adversity early on and Grove City, their quarterback, he had a great game and he kept them in it there for a little bit but I was really proud of how our guys responded when we were down there.
Well, Coach, I guess the one thing, we've talked to you several times, and I got to talking to Dave Papura, and we got a story coming out next week about your offensive line. You know, all five starters are between 5'9 and 6'2, and four of them weigh between 195 and 215. Only your center is what you would consider probably lineman weight, and that's still probably a bit light at 260. How are you getting 365 yards a game on the ground? You know, I was talking to Coach Wolf about that. He says it's skill and technique and just ability. What would you say?
Yeah, well, Larry, he ran that wing T back in the day, and we seem to be better when we have smaller offensive linemen, I love how our guys get off the ball and how quick they are. And, you know, they make up for the lack of size with their speed. And, you know, also with, you know, our offensive linemen, they average, I believe it's about a 3.85 grade point average. So that helps as well. But, you know, they're great kids. And, and they do everything that we ask.
Well, Bubba, when you fell behind tonight for the first time, I started the telephone chain to get you fired. I thought you should be out of the job right away. But a lot of people,
you probably weren't the only one.
That's probably right. Well, I knew a lot of those people out in New Albany, but here's the point. A lot of people don't understand. If you put your hat and your hands in the right place, you can play offensive line at almost any size. And if you've got good, smart athletes, and obviously they're 3.7, 3.8 kids, they're smart, they're not going to make mistakes, they get their hat and their hands in the right place, you can block anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And you know, our offensive line coaches and offensive coordinator Brian Finn and my dad Tim Kidwell and Matt Smith, they do a great job of coaching those guys. And you know, it's something that, you know, we run at the middle school level and we even run it at the youth level, in the third and fourth grade and fifth and sixth. So, you know, those are things that you know, by the time our guys get up here, they've run buck sweep and they run belly thousands of times. So, you know, a lot goes out to our, you know, coaching staff, but, you know, also the guys that help prepare our guys, you know, at a young age.
Well, the one nice thing about it too is, Bubba, and you know this, that if a kid realizes that if he just does the right things and does them the way their coach do, they have a chance to play. It doesn't matter how big or how big they aren't, you know, they exactly. have a chance to play. And then it makes practice better. More kids want to play. More yep. kids want to practice.
Yes, exactly.
Coach, obviously you guys are off to a great start, 6-0. All kinds of numbers when I was looking tonight, stats for you guys offensively and defensively. Everything's clicking. You got a big one next week against Gahanna. What can we look forward to in that one?
Well, you know, we're excited and we've had some great games with Gahanna over the years, and you know, not too many have gone our way, and you know, it's gone down to the last play of the game several times. So, you know, our motto here is the finish. So that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to finish every play, every rep this week, and just worry about ourselves getting better.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the win tonight and the 6-0 start. Good luck next week. It's going to be a big one.
Yes, it is. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Congrats, Bubba.
Thanks, Larry.
New Albany head coach Bubba Kidwell, the Eagles, with a 56-14 win tonight over Grove City. That's still an amazing stat to me, Larry. 5 games into the season, they hadn't trailed until this week, week 6.
Yeah, you know, and Bubba was one of those good young coaches way back when, you know, back when I started at Darby. He was a young kid, and, you know, now he's one of the old-timers. Now he's one of the, you know, the graybeards that goes out there every week and you know, has his team strap it on. And he does a great job of X and O-ing, but he does a great job of demanding excellence from his kids. In the classroom, they're obviously good students. Out on the field, that translates.
Guys, a lot of havoc in the City League this week as a lot of games were canceled. A few games did take place with City League teams involved, though. One was in the North Division. Lyndon McKinley, they're 5-1. They've got a 40-6 win tonight over Centennial Lee. Lyndon McKinley's a team we're not really talking about, but they're poised to take the City League North right now.
Well, yeah, and you know, you got to think, their last winning season, 6-4 back in 2001. And what they've said has helped bring, you know, we talk a lot, you know, well, we don't talk a whole lot, but we've talked about when, you know, how you got to build a culture. And they've done some things like, you know, getting together to do, you know, trash pickups, doing community events together. And they think that that's just helped build a bond there that they didn't have before. And, you know, it's, hey, whatever works. You know, you're keeping the neighborhood beautiful and you're keeping your fans happy. That's quite the combo.
One of the hardest things for a lot of the City League schools is getting these kids together in the summer. They come from all over the city. They don't have the transportation to get from, you know, it's not like it's a neighborhood school anymore. You know, they're coming from all over the place, and it's difficult. It's really difficult to get them together. So if you can get them together for anything, you can team build, and suddenly they're playing for more than just, you know, Friday night and a scoreboard. They're playing for the guy next to them. Mm-hmm. And suddenly Lyndon McKinley has that feel about it. So it's kind of nice that they're 4-1, 5-1 now, and good for them.
Briggs was supposed to play Afrocentric tonight. That one got canceled. They instead played Tri-Valley, and the Bruins fall 36-14. Columbus South was supposed to take on Walnut Ridge. That one did not happen, but South took on Proctorville-Fairland, and Fairland wins that one 22-14. 42-14, and then New Philadelphia beats Northland tonight 42-0. Those games in the City League. Let's head back to the OCC. Big one up north. Olentangy Berlin hangs on. They get a 28-21 win over Olentangy tonight. Their head coach, Mark Norrie, joins us now on the Scoreboard Show. And Coach, I was watching this one all night. It was back and forth. How good of a high school football game was this one tonight?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on tonight, guys. And I'll tell you, it's probably as good as it gets from anybody not coaching in it, because I think it probably cost me about 5 years on my life tonight. But proud of our kids, proud of the way that they handled themselves tonight. It was, man. I mean, it was back and forth the entire time. It's one of those deals, sort of who gets the ball last. You hope you can just hold them if you're on defense or put one in and you're on offense. And it did. It came down to the end of the fourth quarter to claim a victor.
Okay, Coach, one of the biggest questions I've ever asked a coach. You said in the preview that the rivalry was kind of like the backyard brawl, Pitt and West Virginia. Yeah. Which side are you on?
Say Pitt.
Well, I coached at Pitt for a year.
And I know.
For a couple of years, so
I love it.
I got to tell you, I was a Steeler for a year and all those things, and a Panther. I was a coaching staff on the Panther. So, I kind of have a little second home there in Pittsburgh. And my daughter went to school in West Virginia at Fairmont State. But it wasn't West Virginia, so I guess I can say I'm on the side of Pittsburgh.
All right. I knew you were going to answer that, Coach, that way. Hey. We'll see you September 1st next year. That's a third. They changed it to a Thursday night game. Hey, but let's get to tonight. You've been rotating quarterbacks, but tonight it was Harrison Brewster. Three touchdowns, including the 70-yard run that gave you the lead with about 3 minutes left. What made you start going with the quarterback rotation, and how do you decide, okay, let's go with this one instead of this one?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I think a lot of it, boils down the scheme. I mean, let's start with Dylan Reyes. I mean, Dylan Reyes has done a tremendous job for us this year. He's a very important part of our football program, and he adds another element to what we do that Harrison doesn't. That being said, when defensively you see some things where you can, when you run that quarterback, you can pick up an extra blocker that way. And so, if we're seeing that from upstairs or from the sideline, that we can pick up an extra blocker in the box, that's Harrison's forte. So when we can do those things and gain numbers in our offensive scheme, we like to go at Harrison. He also starts free safety for us too, so we have to dance around that a little bit as well in terms of just being in condition and keeping him fresh as best we can.
Coach Norrie, we've talked to several coaches tonight about the same thing. You're one of those teams that when you play well, you can beat anybody. When you don't play well, you can lose to anybody. I mean, you've had some close games against great teams, and you've beaten them. And then, the one big loss to Liberty, but heck, Liberty's a really good football team. When you look down at your schedule now, and you've got 4 weeks to go, there are no easy games left. I mean, every week is a tough game when you're in Olentangy, Ohio.
And they're all division games. They're all winning programs. Know what ended up happening. I think Darby and Marysville went to overtime tonight.
Yep.
I mean, it's just a meat grinder. I say it every time that somebody asks me, and there is no, you have to bring your A game every week. And as you guys know, when you have 16, 17, and 18-year-olds out there, who knows what you're going to get on a Friday night. You could have the best week of practice and lose, or the worst week of practice and win. I mean, that's high school football, right? So, to your point, it's we got four left, and it's just going to be, it's just a grind. That's all it is. And I wouldn't be surprised if there was more like this. I am proud. I will say this, though. I am proud of the fact that, from a culture standpoint and a program standpoint, some of these games that we're in tight games with, I don't know if we win them a year or two ago. And now I feel like we're giving our kids an opportunity to win at the end of the game, and they're doing a tremendous job. So I see that growth in our program as well.
Yeah, you're just definitely working, winning some close ones this year against some good teams like Coach Wolf mentioned. Coach Norrie, congratulations on the win tonight. What a great 5-1 start for you guys. Good luck next week against, I believe it's Darby, right?
Yes, sir, on the road. We'll be over there. Yep.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
This is the head coach of Olentangy Berlin, Mark Norrie. Next week, Hilliard Darby. the week after Dublin-Jerome, the following week, Marysville.
Well, you're going to get a Derby team that's lost two in a row. Okay? One, they didn't play real well, and the other one, they went to overtime with a very good team. And they're going to be playing at home. Listen, they could be a very good team, and you could get beat in that game and not know why. I mean, you literally could play a good game against a good team and get beat, and that could happen the rest of the way out. They are a good football team.
Well, and you look at what Berlin's done in such a short time frame.
Yep.
You know, this is her fourth year, and it's just amazing. It's really, really amazing what they've done. And when Coach Norrie came there, he said he was just excited about building a program from scratch. And I don't know if he's willing to sell that blueprint, but boy, he'd make some money.
It's funny because that's exactly what I was thinking. We've kind of talked about that a little bit here recently, building a program, building a culture, and I don't know if there's a better example of it the past few years, at least, of what Coach Norrie has done there at Olentangy Berlin. We're going to go ahead and take our final timeout of the evening on the Scoreboard Show, but when we come back, we'll talk to the head coach of Bishop Waterson, Brian Kennedy. We'll also run through the scores one more time as well. It's the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roof.
How do we make our customers happy? We give them peace of mind. With Able Roof, you don't just get a new roof, you get an entire roof crew. The leadership of a foreman, the experience of professional roofers, the quality of an objective inspection, and a great customer service team. The Able Roof team is proud to serve the Columbus area and bring along 40 years of expertise. AbleRoof.com.
Call Able for the proof, 444-ROOF.
Academics, community, character, faith. For nearly a century, St. Charles has welcomed young men for an exceptional high school experience. Boasting a college preparatory curriculum, modern facilities, robust athletics and extracurriculars, and powerful student mentoring programs, more than 50% of our students receive financial aid, 100% are accepted to college. Parents and guardians of middle school-aged boys are invited to join us at a Cardinal Chat information session. The Cardinal Chats are hosted by parents, faculty, and staff of St. Charles in convenient locations all over Central Ohio. Be sure to reserve your spot at a nearby chat today by visiting cardinalchats.scprep.org, or to learn more about St. Charles, visit stcharlesprep.org. That's stcharlesprep.org.
Final segment, week 6 of the AM 820 Scoreboard Show. Ryan Baker, the guru, Lee Cochran from This Week Sports. And every good team has to have a head coach, and we've got one of the best in Larry Wolf. Joining us now on the Scoreboard Show, it was a close one tonight. It went to overtime in the CCL, and Coach Birchfield said, these CCL games are a lot of times a one-score game, and that's what we had as Waterson gets the 31-28 win in overtime. Their head coach, Brian Kennedy, joins us now on the Scoreboard Show. And, Coach, I was talking to you earlier this week, and you said this game scared everything out of you. Why was that, and did those reasons come true tonight?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. Brad said it. I mean, it's CCL games. I mean, they're always tight. It doesn't matter what the record is. I mean, everybody's going to give you, everyone's looking to play their best game. And, watching them on film, I mean, they do some really good things, and their kids play really hard. And I'll give Coach Hoker and the whole, their whole football program. I mean, they played the entire game as best as they could, as well as they could, and, we were fortunate enough to make one more play than they were. That's the bottom line.
Well, Coach, you had the first game postponed or canceled. You find another game with West Holmes. Lose that. Lose a very good Bell Fountain team. But those two teams heading into tonight, after Bell Fountain won tonight, they're combined 10-1. You've now won four in a row. Is the team playing pretty much the way you expected now?
I'll give you some coach speak. We're winning games, right? And I appreciate that. And I'm happy for that. But we're not where we need to be. It seems like You know, sometimes, some weeks, it's you know, we're doing a little, we do need to do a little bit better on offense, a little bit better on defense. I still don't feel like we've played a complete game. You know, we can still keep getting better, but, you know, to our kids' credit, you know, winning four in a row, I mean, that's a big deal. And so, you know, I'm very proud of what they've done. So, but, you know, next week's a new week. We got to go 1-0 next week.
You know, Brian, when you said, we're just not happy where we are, I got the evil eye from both of these guys because I keep saying that as a coach. People don't understand what that means. Winning games is important because that's what makes practice next week doable. But nobody in the coach's office on Saturday morning at 7 o'clock is very happy. You know, they're all looking at 4,000 mistakes. Am I correct?
You're right. I mean, we're going to watch the film tonight. We're going to get with the kids tomorrow. And, man, there's going to be, yes, I don't know if it'll be 4,000, but it'll be a bunch of things.
Well,
it'll
if you take 60 plays times 11 guys, you know, on offense and 60 on defense, there might be 4,000 because I never coached and you know this, I have never, ever coached a perfect play. I got close once. I had 10 kids do exactly what they were supposed to do. One guy messed it up. And I told the kids, you had a chance to get rid of me because I always promised them if they had one perfect play, I'd retire. Because it's almost impossible in football. People don't understand that. And so when you win a game 31-28, there are so many things to fix and so many things you're happy about. So, you know, give us a 50-50 on that. What are you most happy about tonight, besides the win, obviously, but in what phase of the game did you play well? And what do you know you need to fix?
Well, I thought offensively, I thought we did well. I mean, we had two punts. I mean, you know, I thought we did some really good things on offense. And, you know, I mean, you got to look at special teams, right? I mean, you make a field goal in overtime. Yeah, you know, Rudy Kessinger, our kicker, he's a soccer kid. This is his first time ever kicking a football, whatever. I mean, he kicked it through, but you got to give, you know, Landon Purcell, long snapper, credit. You got to give Dom Orsini, a holder, credit, and the whole crew. So, you know, offensively, special teams, I think that's my glass half full. Glass half empty, you know, defensively, we gave up, you know, that young man from St. Charles, I think, rushed for 244 yards. You know, up until this point, I think we had done a pretty good job stopping the run. But clearly, you know, I mean, clearly, and it's, you know, I'm not taking anything away from St. Charles because they just lined up and just ran it right at us, and we had trouble stopping them all night. So maybe, you know, probably at least a couple thousand things, Coach, we'll see on defensive film.
Well, I'm glad somebody else talks the way I talk because these guys think I'm nuts.
Wow.
And I am.
Wow. Boy, Coach Kennedy, you've wowed me tonight. You've just been repeating what Larry's saying. So, but you mentioned the running game of St. Charles. I'd like to go to your running game. You know, Trayton Mercer had, in his first three games, had 9 total carries. Need to step up because of an injury. First two starts, more than 100 yards. How'd he do tonight?
He did really well. I mean, he runs hard. You know, he's a sophomore, and so he's learning, right? I mean, the game moves really fast, right? Really fast, and there's big, strong guys trying to hurt you every single play, and so we're trying to work on his pad level. But man, the kid, I mean, that last touchdown he had, that was one guy, Coach, to your point, that was one guy running the perfect play, and the other 10 kind of were just around. Like, that was an individual play. And he's such a good kid. He's so coachable. He wants to get better, And Ryan, our quarterback, did a really good job tonight tucking it and going when it was good timing. I think he ended up with 50 yards of rushing. So very happy with the ground game, the offense. Like I said, you know, obviously there's things to fix. And you know, part of me saying all this, because I need to get back on Coach's good side. I need to get back on his Christmas card, his mailing list.
I don't know. I have low standards, but I don't know if I can go quite that low. You know,
I'm guessing, Coach, if you get the win next week over Granville, he'll put you back on the list.
Absolutely, that'll be a good win.
All right. Well, hey, then I got my pregame speech written.
All right. I've got my Christmas card. I just got to put the stamp on it.
Coach, congratulations on the win tonight and the 4-game winning streak here. Good luck next week against Granville.
Hey, thanks, fellas. Thanks for having me on. Have a great weekend.
Congrats, Brian.
He's the head coach of Bishop Waterson, Brian Kennedy. A hard-fought 31-28 overtime win over St. Charles tonight. Dublin Jerome, they improved to 5-1 tonight. They beat Thomas Worthington 36-18. Their head coach Brett Glass joins us now on the Scoreboard Show. And coach, a tough loss a couple weeks ago for you guys to your rival Kauffman, 49-42 in overtime, but you guys have handled it well. You've won two straight now. How proud are you of the way the kids took that loss in stride and kept going?
Yeah, it certainly wasn't easy. You know, that was a tough weekend for everybody. Myself included, just one of those weeks where you can't wait to get back on the practice field Monday to kind of get that taste out of your mouth, because it was certainly a tough loss, but our kids have responded the last 2 weeks, had two great weeks of practice, and, you know, got two wins, got us back on the right track.
Well, Coach, you know, who played particularly well for you tonight?
You know, senior wide receiver David Adolph had two huge touchdown catches and had a bunch of other, you know, catches for conversions. And I think he's one of the best kept secrets around Central Ohio as far as wide receivers go. He's, you know, 6'5", you know, probably 200 pounds, runs, blocks extremely well, just made a ton of plays for us, and is really our team leader. So he's one guy that, you know, I would really single out tonight, you know, amongst others, but he, you know, certainly popped.
Well, you know, Brett, early in the season, you guys had some close wins, beating Toledo Whitmer and Shaker Heights and all those good. But, you know, the thing about that is that builds the character so that when you have a loss, like you and that's a neighborhood game. When you lose a neighborhood game, that infuriates everybody in the neighborhood. I mean, everybody, you got a for sale sign on your front lawn because you put it there. You know, the neighbors didn't do it. You did it. But those are the character builders that get you through those tough times like you had a couple weeks ago, and now you're on the other side of it.
Yeah, absolutely. We, you know, could have easily gone, you know, I hate to say this, but we started off 3-0, could have easily been the other way around. You know, we had three really tough, close, hard wins those first 3 weeks, and that really gets you off, you know, to a to a strong start, obviously. And, you know, no one really thinks about this outside of coaches sometimes, but getting that first win of the season, it's kind of sets up the whole year. And, yeah, the Kauffman loss was incredibly disappointing to everybody. You know, the whole school and the program and everything. But like you said, the kids have responded.
Well, Coach, you know, you get to celebrate this one tonight, but you've got quite a game coming up next week. It's at your place, but Marysville's coming in. What can you tell us about the Monarchs?
Yeah, you know, big physical, you know, wing tee, and a great defense too. And, you know, they've got Gabe Powers, but he's not all they have. They've got a lot of really good, really good football players. You know, I'm familiar with them being from Jonathan Alder. We used to play them, and Coach Johnson's really done a great job kind of building them back up into a power right now in Central Ohio.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the win tonight. 5-1 start for Jerome. You're doing a great job there in your first season. Keep up the good work, Coach.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
He's the head coach of Dublin, Jerome, Brett Glass. They knock off Thomas Worthing tonight, 36-18. Lee, you mentioned Marysville, but how about this? Marysville, Berlin, Olentangy, Darby to end the year.
Yeah, and that division is just mind-numbing. I mean, we've always, historically, it seems to have been OCC Central with, you know, Upper Arlington, Hilliard-Davidson, Dublin-Kauffman, Liberty's back in there. You know, for a few years it was OCC Ohio, Pickerington North, Pickerington Central, Gahanna, Reynoldsburg. This division is just a slobber knocker.
It's a meat grinder.
Yeah.
And everybody that plays in this division plays the same style of football. It's physical up front. It's good, solid defenses. They don't make a lot of mistakes. And they may not have all the flashy players that other – now, Marysville's got a few, obviously. But they may not have all the flashy players that some of these other programs have. But – they just keep the ball away from you and beat on you for minutes at a time. It's brutal.
Well, we've talked about Reynoldsburg, you know, best 0-4 team, you know, and that kind of stuff. Is there a better 2-4 team out there in Olentangy? I mean, that's no slouch right there.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go ahead now and try to run through all of these scores one final time. We did the OCC in the City League recently, so let's start in the Mid-State League. Whitehall, 34-7 winners over Bexley tonight. Columbus Academy, they're 3-3 now. They hang on and beat Buckeye Valley 21-12. Amanda Clear Creek, 49-13 winners over Circleville. Bloom Carroll, 6-0. They beat Liberty Union 45-3. Fairfield Union, 35-14 winners over Logan Elm tonight. And Taze Valley, 6-0. They shut out Hamilton Township. Big win for them tonight, 33-0. Burn Union, 54-14 winners over Miller. And Rosecrans beats Grove City Christian tonight 64-41. Rex Hankinson, a school record 436 yards in this one for Rosecrans. In the Licking County League, Granville Licking Heights got canceled tonight, so Zanesville doubles up Licking Valley 20-10. In the Cardinal Division, Heath is 4-2. They beat Lakewood 68-14. Northridge gets their first one over Johnstown since 2005, 24-21. And Newark Catholic, they're 6-0. They beat Utica 48-8. Harvest Prep, 25-7 winners over Reedy tonight. New Philadelphia beats Northland 42-0. Kip Columbus beats Grandview 48-7. Lima Central Catholic all over Worthington Christian. First loss of the year for Worthington Christian, 50-3. Watkins Memorial, 53-21 winners over Mount Vernon this evening. London gets by Jonathan Alder 34-7. West Jeff, they're 6-0. They beat Northeastern 35-0. Centerburg, 24-20 winners over Cardington. Miami Trace beats Chillicothe 35-28 in overtime. Lee, Millersport knocks off Manchester 42-14. And I know they had a couple years where they did not play 11-man football, but I believe this is Millersport's first win since week 5 of 2017.
Yeah.
So good story there.
Yeah, it was. And you remember Millersport had, you know, a pretty decent team there a couple years prior to that.
Yeah. So that's a good story, Millersport getting that win. Zane Trace 49-12 over Westfall, and Madison Plains falls to Catholic Central 28-25. In the CCL tonight, Hartley 31-20 winners over DeSales. Waterson 31-28 overtime win over St. Charles. In the OCC, Buckeye, Lancaster, they're 2-4. They beat Central Crossing 35-20. Reynoldsburg gets their first win 39-3. Pick Central all over Newark 67-0. In the Capital, Big Walnut 72-6 winners over Franklin Heights. Dublin Scioto shuts out Canal. Worthington Kilbourne gets their second win 43-14 over Delaware. Westerville South wins the Battle of Westerville 62-21 over North. In the Cardinal, Dublin Jerome 36-18 over Thomas Worthington. Marysville 6-0. They beat Hilliard Darby in overtime 21-14. Olentangy Berlin 28, Olentangy 21. In the Central, Liberty beats Kaufman 34-7. Upper Arlington 35-6 winners over Bradley. Davidson beats Orange 34-21. In the Ohio, New Albany 6-0. 56-14, they knock off Grove City. Pick North 35-22 winners over Westerville Central. And then some City League games. Lyndon McKinley 40-6 over Centennial. Marion Franklin beats Independence 30-28. Briggs falls to Tri-Valley 36-14, and South loses to Fairland 22-14. We are through 6 weeks. Lee, your final thoughts?
I guess, you know, one, it was great to talk to Buddy White tonight. That's always fun. I was really impressed with what Westerville South did. You know, a great interview with Coach Christ. Olentangy Liberty, Taze Valley. I just took a peek at next week. Remember last week going into week 5, we said it just didn't seem to be the good, exciting matchups, but it ended up being a great week. I think we ought to just quit talking about great weeks. I mean, look what we got on tap next week. Marysville, Dublin, Jerome. Berlin at Darby. Davidson at Bradley, Upper Arlington at Olentangy Liberty, Gahanna, New Albany. I mean, you know, just there. And then you go down, Granville and Waterson are playing. DeSales and Steubenville. You know, I mean, it's week in and week out. It's just exciting. You know, I always say, you know, cups half full, you know, cause I just can't wait to get to the next week. You know, this one is over. I like talking about it, like thinking about it. But, man, I can't wait for next Friday to get here. And I think that's why, as Coach Wolf said earlier, this is flying by.
We've got four schools that are still undefeated in the OCC. New Albany, Big Walnut, New Albany, Upper Arlington, Marysville. Then you go to Pick Central, Davidson, Pick North, Berlin, Jerome, all have one loss. And, oh, by the way, Darby's got two losses. And they've beaten one of the 5-1 teams. This league is crazy. It's absolutely insane. It's a meat grinder. And there are any one of those teams could come out of this region and be in the Final Four. Any one of them.
And the awesome thing is, now that we're in league play, all of those teams are going
to
play each other. And we're going to be talking about
it. It's awesome for us, but it's all those coaches are on suicide.
Could you imagine being a coach and you know, you've got to have your best performance every single week to win.
Yep. You got to hate them all the same. You can't. Yeah. You can't. There are no big games because there are no little games.
And like you said, Larry, that's what makes it so fun for us. Don't forget, everybody, check out the website if you missed any of the scores, am820scoreboard.com. There's a couple Saturday games, too. You can get those scores tomorrow on there. You can follow us Facebook and Twitter at am820scoreboard. And, of course, something new every day at thisweeksports.com. Make sure you check it out. Big congratulations and a thank you to our coaches that called in tonight, Justin Buttermore of Upper Arlington. That's becoming a weekly chat, and we don't mind that at all. Buddy White from Reynoldsburg, Matthew Christ of Western South, Carl Johnson from Dublin Scioto, Brad Birchfield of Hartley, Bubba Kidwell from New Albany, Mark Norrie of Olentangy Berlin, Brian Kennedy, Bishop Watterson getting that overtime win, and Brett Glass of Dublin Jerome, one of those 5-1 teams Larry just talked about. A big thank you to our associate producer Chris Higgins, doing a great job on the phones tonight, and of course, for the guru, Lee Cochran of This Week Sports, and our head coach Larry Wolf, I'm Ryan Baker saying one final time, thanks for listening, everyone, to the AM 820 Scoreboard Show. We'll see you next week.